Good morning, everyone. Let us gather together for delivery of God's word. This morning, I clearly have the privilege of giving forth God's word to you. And we'll be looking at the book of Acts, the 19th chapter. And I'll be reading from verses 11 to verse 20. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 to 20. I'll give you a few moments to find it in your Bibles. Then I will read it. The word of the Lord reads thus. God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. When handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled. A group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, "I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, "I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you?" Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. The story of what happened spread quickly through all of Ephesus to Jews and Greeks alike. A solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. A number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books and burned them at a public bonfire. The value of the books was several million dollars, so the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. Let us pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, I come before you right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, asking you to fill me with your anointing and your power to deliver your word. I pray, O God, for each and every single person who is listening to the message that will come forth from my lips. I ask, O God, that you will give them a receiving spirit to hear your word proclaimed and that our lives will be transformed as a result of what you're saying to us today. Right now, Heavenly Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will just continue to fill this entire auditorium, that nothing will enter into this space that is not of you, but only you and who you are will be proclaimed and glorified and praised in our midst today. We ask all these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. In 1994, one of the greatest movies of all time was released. Disney's The Lion King hit cinemas all over the world, and the history of human entertainment was forever altered for the better. And while this epic film is filled with many memorable moments, there's one scene in the movie that stands above the rest in my humble estimation. In the clip I'm referring to, Simba, the young lion, crosses paths with Rafiki, the wise but eccentric baboon, while walking in an African savanna, and initially Simba is perturbed or perplexed at Rafiki's presence, until Rafiki informs Simba that he knows him as Mufasa's boy. That's his exact words. "Simba, you are Mufasa's boy." Rafiki's knowledge of Simba's background startles Simba, but it also intrigues him. To inquire from the baboon if he knew his father, and Rafiki replies, "Correction, I know your father." Simba goes on to inform the strange baboon that his dad is dead, but Rafiki tells him that Mufasa is alive. This leads to Simba following Rafiki through a maze of trees that led to a pool of water, and upon reaching the pond, Rafiki tells Simba to steer into the water. At first, Simba only sees his reflection, but Rafiki implores him to look harder, look deeper, and Simba peers deeply into the pond, and Rafiki says to him, "You see, he lives in you." Soon after, the wise baboon utters these words, Simba realizes that his father's presence resides in him. Then mysteriously, Mufasa appears in the clouds and tells Simba that he has lost sight of who he is, which has caused the young lion to lose track of his purpose and mission in life. And because of this, Mufasa implores his son by uttering the oft-quoted phrase, "Remember who you are. Remember who you are." As a result of this profound moment, Simba regains his focus and eventually makes his way back to Pride Rock, where he defeats Scar and assumes his rightful place as the king. While this clip is incredible at face value, in my estimation, and I hope you agree, I believe that there are spiritual overtones that are evident in the scene that should cause us as believers in Jesus Christ to ponder deeply about what it means for us to remember who we are. I say this because I believe many of us, if we were to be completely honest, we are not experiencing all that God has for us as his adopted beloved children. Considering this, my aim this morning is to preach to you a message that seeks to result in us remembering who we are in Christ Jesus, thereby empowering us to live lives in a manner that God intended us for us to live. This message will aim to help us to have a greater understanding of our inheritance that God has made available to us through Jesus Christ when he died upon the cross and released his spirit to reside within us. And so, the title of my sermon is Remember Who You Are. Remember Who You Are. To unpack this topic, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 19, which I just read. And in Acts chapter 19, we are given insight into a peculiar story. It's an interesting story. It details the account of a group of Jewish exorcists who went around to different towns using spells to cast out evil spirits. And upon this occasion, they heard the Apostle Paul using the name of Jesus to demonstrate power and control over evil forces and to heal men and women. And upon hearing this, they thought to themselves, okay, we can add the name of Jesus to our formulas that we use to cast spells to see persons who are trapped in demonic oppression or with evil spirits to find freedom. While their motivations were not totally pure, this is what they were thinking. They were thinking to themselves that we could add the formula of saying, in the name of Jesus, come out and people will be set free. And so they tried one day with a demon-possessed man or a demonized man, and to their surprise or to their dismay, the man leaped upon them and jumped on them and overpowered them and beat them to a pulp to the point that they had to run out of the home naked. They had to run out of the home naked. You see, this gentleman by the name of Sceva, and he was a chief priest of this day, a Jewish chief priest, and his followers were seeking to find ways to free persons from darkness through their own ambition and through their own strength. And so they sought to add another formula to their repertoire. But the strange thing is, I believe that Sceva and his followers were not successful in calling upon the name of Jesus for primarily three reasons. Reason number one is because they attempted to use the holy name and sacred name of Jesus in a formulaic magical manner. God will never be held subject to human constructs. We could never just say to God, do this and he will follow through. He chooses to operate with us. He is sovereign. We are the one that has to follow his will. So the first mistake that they made, besides being out of step with Christianity, is that they sought to engage in a formula that would lead to the evil spirit being cast out from this man. The second thing stems from what it means to call upon the name of Jesus. What does it truly mean to call upon the name of Jesus? With that said, to call or invoke the name of Jesus in prayer is to recognize that we are coming in the righteousness of Christ, not our own. We don't deserve to be heard by God, but Jesus does, and so we come in his name. So these exorcists who were going around from town to town obviously were not people who were founded in Christ. So as a result of this, their calling upon the name of Jesus did not allow them to partake in the righteousness of Jesus. Thereby, they were not able to see a person had an evil spirit cast out of him. And the third reason that is found in the passage is in verse 13, which reads, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. Notice that Sceva and his crew sought to command the evil spirit in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. This signifies that they were attempting to call on Jesus without having a relationship with him for themselves. Sceva's group tried to attack a demon through another individual standing with God and not their own. And so there are three primary reasons why these men who went around seeking to cast out demons, to cast out evil spirits from people, were unsuccessful in seeing this demon being casted out from this man. Number one, as I said before, they were individuals who were out of step with God's will, and as a result of that, they used Jesus' name in an unholy way, and as a result of that, God did not bless them in that manner. Number two, there were people who called upon the name of Jesus without understanding what it meant, and to call upon the name of Jesus means that we are founded in the righteousness of Christ. And number three, they sought to have a commanding force with these demonic entities by relying upon someone else's experience with Jesus. On the other hand, Paul's experience with invoking the name of Jesus is quite different. We are told that God performed extraordinary miracles by Paul's hand while in Ephesus. The primary reason for this is because Paul was a Christ follower in the truest sense of the word, who pursued intimacy with Jesus with a sincere desperation. In Philippians 3:10, we read, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. The Apostle Paul was single-minded in his attempt and in his focus to pursue all of Jesus. He wasn't an individual or a man who was just laying back and who was trying to find ways to grow deep into God without having a plan and a purpose. He laid down all of himself and he sought after Jesus with a single-minded focusness. And so because of that, and because of God's sovereignty, we see the Holy Spirit working through Paul to heal many men and women in Ephesus and throughout the Asia Minor world. And as a result of that, people's lives are transformed. And I believe many of us in this auditorium to this morning are fully and wholly committed to God, maybe in a similar manner that Paul was. Yes, I said that. But we don't experience the contextualized Pauline results when we pray in the name of Jesus. And I don't believe that the main reason that we don't see things happening when we pray in the name of Jesus is because we are not founded in the righteousness of Christ. But I believe it's because we have lost sight of who we are in Christ. It is almost as if we believe that there is a system or a hierarchy within Christianity that says only certain people are expected to see results when they pray in the name of Jesus. Only certain people are able to step into the righteousness that Christ has given all of us as his beloved adopted children. And as a result of that, we have a sense of, we use a phrase in the Caribbean where we say, you're fully bush Christian. By that I mean, when you're yam fully bush, I'll translate, to eat fully bush is to consume of something that would create a situation where a person responds in a manner that is less than confident. And so when a person is said to be a fully bush eating Christian, they're a person who is not pursuing the things of God with confidence because they lack a sense of who they are in Christ Jesus. And so as I mentioned to you, my aim this morning is to deliver a message to you that will allow for each and every one of us to leave this auditorium this morning, to leave this sanctuary this morning with a clear reminder that God is saying to you, I have looked upon you as my beloved and adopted children. And as a result of that, you are free to step into the Christ-given authority that I have made available to all of my believers and to all of my followers. Because the fact of the matter is, we go through life from day to day, and sometimes we feel as if we are battered and bruised, and we feel as if there's nothing that will stop the onslaught of the enemy from defeating us. But Jesus is saying that if you were to switch your focus and to remember who you are in me, and if you pray in the name of Jesus and you believe that things will happen, then maybe you will experience freedom. No, I'm not saying that suffering is not something that Christians will experience. That is not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm saying to you is, though, that we should have the expectation that as Christians, as Christ followers, that God will act on our behalf and that we don't necessarily need to run to someone else to pray on our behalf. All we need to do is stand firm in the righteousness of Christ and pray into the name of Jesus and believe that things will happen. That is what it means to invoke the name of Jesus in and through our lives. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, truth be told, there's a strong correlation between the people of God praying in the name of Jesus contextually and strongholds being broken within a particular society. In Acts chapter 19, Luke, in Acts chapter 19, 17 to 20, Luke writes, "The story of what happened spread quickly all through Ephesus to the Jews and Greeks alike. A solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices, and a number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their spell books and burned them at the public bonfire, and the value of the books were several thousand million dollars. So the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect." And so in the passage, we see that when Paul demonstrates that the name of Jesus is greater than any other power that the sons of Sceva or anyone else could call upon, we see people going away and burning some of their old things and burning some of their old books and turning to Jesus and confessing their sinful practices. So this reveals to us that there's a strong correlation when people step into the name of Jesus with a contextualized mentality of what it means to do so. We see salvation taking place. And so in our society, what would this mean? In the Western world, we don't see the occult practices taking place in public view like we do in other parts of the world. So for instance, in my culture, I remember growing up next to the church in which my dad pastored, there was this home where an individual had voodoo dolls in the trees and stuff like that. And it was a direct assault against our church, where they were praying against different members of the congregation, they were praying against the leadership of the church, and we as God's people engaged in prayer, and we saw that in time the tree burned down in a miraculous way, and it happened. And so we saw that the power of God was able to act out in that way, because our society is one in which where demonic practices still sometimes take place in a publicly manifested way. Whereas in this society, I believe that God is saying to us that we need to seek to pray in his name so that we could demonstrate love to people, because many persons in our society are walking around with a deep sense of emptiness within their heart. And so it's not just viewing the praying in the name of Jesus from a super spiritual standpoint, where we seek to see demonizations being uprooted and strongholds being torn down in that sense. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we also are looking to see persons step into the reality of finding true selves in God through love. So I say this because in Ephesus, one of the primary practices that they engaged in as a people was the magical arts. And so it was a society where persons would engage in a lot of witchcraft and a lot of demonic activities. And as a result of that, God sought to demonstrate his power over evil by allowing Paul to step into that society and fight them head on, and showing that the name of Jesus was more powerful than any other name or any other source of power. And as a result of that, when Paul was able to demonstrate that power, we saw men and women coming to know Jesus. And in our society, God is saying that he wants us to step into those areas where people are trying to find healing and trying to find restoration in other avenues other than himself. We see in our society that people are turning to drugs and alcohol and many different things to find freedom and to find relief from some of the things that they're going through. But I believe that if we really take hold of what it means to pray in the name of Jesus and to demonstrate love to people and to fill that void that they're seeking to find in their hearts, then we will see many persons come to know Jesus. We will not be a society that just coasts along and where we don't see salvation takes place if we pray into the name of Jesus in the manner that Paul does in Acts chapter 19. The reality is, it is contextualized. To pray into the name of Jesus does not look the same in every society. In one society, it looks as if what I described, the tree being lit on fire. In another society, it's living into in a way that we demonstrate love to each and every person that we come in contact with. And so, I was here to remind you guys to step into the love of God in a manner that allows you to remember who you are in Christ Jesus. As you go through your day, be introspective. Allow yourself to think about what God has said about you. Don't allow anyone to cast any thoughts into your mind that allows you to believe something that is inconsistent with what God describes you in His, and with how God describes you in His Word. We are not people who God just looks down upon and says, I want nothing to do with you. But God looks upon us and says, come unto me, all who are laden and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. God looks upon us and says, you are my beloved children. And as a result of that, I want you to step into the Christ-given authority that I've made available to you. And so, I just encourage us as a church, as we seek to step into a busy season within the next week and a half, where school starts and where things will become a bit crazier and where things will become busier, to remember that you have access to the God-given authority that is made available to us through Christ Jesus. We are not a people who have to experience defeat in our lives. We are people who have an avenue to connect with God through the Holy Spirit. And so I encourage you to do so, and I encourage you to remember who you are. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the impact that your word has upon our lives. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you will help us as your people to go through life knowing that you view us as your beloved children. And as a result of that, dear God, we are given the inheritance of being able to stand in the righteousness of Christ, which allows us to call upon the name of Jesus in every single situation that we face. Right now, dear God, I pray that the people in this church will leave with a sense of confidence, knowing that you look upon them as your beloved. And as a result of that, we are called to be a contextual representation of what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. May we see men and women in our society find an inner void being filled by the love that we demonstrate in and through our lives to those around us. And I just ask these things in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.